President Robinson. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. I'm great. How are you?
You may be the calm in the storm over the marketplace and the armory situation. You like that, huh?
Actually, what I'd like to see is reasonable folks come to a table of reasonable discussion, which has yet to be able to happen in the last week, and so that's a little disconcerting.
Okay, from where you sit and from what you see, what's the issue, what's the challenge, and why did four council members have a problem with these projects?
Well, initially there was an 11th hour addition to a proposal that we previously, it was said on the floor that council members hadn't voted for it before and they wouldn't vote for it now, which wasn't true. This was an 8-0 vote previously to approve these projects, and these were addendums or adjustments to them. It appears that there was an attempt to add a project labor agreement to both. And the committee, before it ever made it out of the committee, was told by our city attorney that that was not legal for us to do. And so that should have taken that portion of the discussion completely out of the equation. However, it did not. The PLA that had been recommended actually was touted at 100% labor union on the project, which would, per the developer, run the cost into an area that would not make the project feasible.
This situation reminds me of a similar situation with the state of Michigan. There was a bill to have Sunday liquor sales, and it was eight pages. And then after politicians tacked on 48 more pages, the bill ended up getting vetoed. And from what I understand, Aylin, I want to get your take on this. Was this a backdoor move, a last-minute move? Did union officials get into the ear of the four board members who voted against?
I think what happened was some exhaustion set in. Individuals believed, and this discussion has been going on for quite some time, admittedly. And I think what happened was individuals got tired, believed there was not enough movement, that they had reached a stalemate, and so they began to look at alternative routes to try and get their way, which really never is a win-win for a situation, and that's what we ended up with. I do think that each council member has some allegiance in the particular discussion as to whether or not they want it to be fair, equitable, and balanced for future deals, and what we've said to past project developers, or what has been said to labor and what we are trying to work towards, which is, again, fair and equitable wages. I think both of those are goals that can be reached. However, you've got to get to the table with a reasonable and balanced look at the discussion. And after 2 years of discussion, I don't think that either side was able to do that. And that's where council then was put into a position to take sides, which I don't think is truly, truly what our council role is. And it's an unfortunate situation that I think now we have two losers in the equation, and that's not good for anyone.
We're talking with Lansing City Council President Aylin Robinson on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. So, Aylin, here you are in your leadership role. You're going to try and figure out common ground for this situation. We've had Pat Gillespie on. He says he is willing to work with unions to perhaps allow union wages up to 50 or 60% of his projects, but he needs some concessions in order to make this work. Then you have union officials who said they're willing to work with Mr. Gillespie. Both say neither side wants to give in, and so you have one entity, the union, saying, look, we deserve a fair wage. We have another entity, the developer, who says, look, I won't be able to make a profit. I won't be able to make this work if we do all union work. How do you find common ground? Because obviously we're talking about jobs in the short term for the people who do all this building. We're talking about jobs in the long term for the people who live and work in these projects. And obviously right. we're talking about the well-being and development of the city of Lansing.
Absolutely. So many different issues. The myriad of those issues can become entangled at any point. I had a chance to actually contact the Michigan Municipal League and look for any precedent-setting cases where we had anything above a 60-40, 50-50 type of split. They were unable to find anything like that across the state. I looked for any PLAs attached to agreements. There were no examples of that. We had some prevailing wage or living wage examples that they did forward to me that I will share on the floor this evening if we are able to bring this to additional discussion. That will take five council members being willing to stand up and say we need to revisit this issue, and that's what I am hoping for this evening. It is yet to be seen if that will happen. I do know that each of the quote-unquote would-be sides of this discussion have said that they are amenable to a 60-40 type of combination on the project, that they would like to see an open bidding process for this, open and transparent. And so the really double in the detail portion of this is getting everyone back to the table with cool heads and reasonable minds able to deliberate in earnest and get this resolved, because it does affect the future of Lansing, how we're perceived across the state and received as far as the business community as well as the labor community. So I think this is a paramount discussion that needs to be given the due time that it deserves, and the whole discussion needs to be ferreted out in earnest so that we are able to come up with a solution that is a win-win solution.
And then finally, Aylin, before we let you go and go to our conversation with Congressman Mark Schauer, when talking about this, I guess it kind of puts you in a weird situation, because I guess the bottom line is Pat Gillespie, the developer, getting too fruitful of benefits when it comes to tax incentives?
Well, you know, we have a developer in the city of Lansing that wants to bring business, wants to help facilitate jobs, wants to certainly grow all of our offerings in Lansing. I wouldn't think you'd want to make the process more difficult or make he or she beholden to a process that was so cumbersome and so costly that they are unable to do that business in Lansing. And I think it's extremely important that we remember this is not a matter of should we give incentives, should we not give incentives. Incentives are available. And if they're available, why would we want to frustrate the process of someone utilizing that as one of the tools that allows them to do business in the city of Lansing?
President Robinson, the meeting tonight is going to be fascinating, and I can't wait to talk about it tomorrow morning. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, and have a fantastic day.